Welcome to the Mount Carmel Veterans Voice Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Rogers. The Veterans Voice is a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center here in Colorado Springs and presented by USAA. USAA continuing their hiring efforts. If you'd like to join that great team, just head on over to usaajobs.com. Today we're focusing on veteran behavioral health and how Mount Carmel and their partners are supporting veterans' mental health during and after their transition out of service. Our first guest here on the Veterans Voice today is Derek Vane. He's a licensed clinical candidate volunteer with Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. Derek, thank you so much for joining us here on the Veterans Voice.
Thank you for having me today.
And first off, let's talk about it because you also have that military background as well. So thank you for your service and what you're doing now for our transitioning and veteran community. And let's just talk about your 9 years in the Army and what led you to this current phase in your life and career.
Sure, absolutely. I think going into the military for me was just an opportunity to venture into to expand on the world, see different things, and get on my own two feet. So I joined right at 18 years old and decided that I wanted to be Army. I was in Southern California, so a lot of friends went Marines, and I knew I didn't want to do the Marines. I went the Army way. And got to my first duty station over in Germany, which was really exciting that I could get that right away. And as soon as I got on the ground, 9/11 actually happened. And so it went from this idea of moving into a military lifestyle and all those opportunities to focusing directly on war. And a lot of us, we didn't know what to predict out of that. And so we kind of had to prepare for everything all at once. The lifestyle, though, it was quite fantastic. The whole building of comrades and the chain of command and the support systems, it was all there, and really good time to be in the service.
Exactly, yeah. And, of course, that also showed yourself as you went through that transition as well. You know firsthand what a lot of our men and women who have served are going through, especially in such tumultuous times, and knowing those transition issues. And that's led perfectly to your work after you got out of the service as well, getting into the behavioral health industry.
Yeah, so one of the things that changed from then till now, which has been a fantastic movement for the military, is the mental health awareness. During the time that I went in, there was no mental health expectations or considerations. It was very dichotomous in the fact that you were either functional or you were a liability. There was no in between, and a lot of veterans at that time, a lot of service members at that time, feared that having emotional or mental problems was going to be detrimental to their career. And since then, the military has made strides forward to promote not only mental and emotional wellness, but they've also increased to spiritual wellness as well. So they really do promote soldiers finding outside resources wherever they feel comfortable to get those needs met.
Yeah, it's something, you know, we always assume with our military that everything's black and white, and it's very comforting to see that they're starting to realize there's that grayscale in between, and that it's not either, as you mentioned, either functional or dysfunctional, but right, there's so much in between.
Absolutely, and there really is. Being aware of yourself does not prevent you from being functional and useful to the military or as an individual. There is a difference with the military lifestyle that you have to constantly be ready for deployments, and that can look many different ways for many different services. But being self-aware doesn't stop you from being functional. If anything, it makes you more aware and adaptable to situations. And bringing that into light for people, even civilians, has been a different cultural shift.
Exactly. And especially, you know, over the past 20 years, you mentioned you went in right before the September 11th attacks. And really, that was a day that changed, especially the world and especially us here in the U.S. And just everything has changed, including the role of the military, the behavioral health, as well as you'd mentioned. And once you got out, that's what you decided to turn your career path into, is going into that behavioral health field.
Yeah. So I would say even today, there that stigma of dysfunctional after getting out of the military is prevalent. People don't know that dealing with your emotions, that admitting that you have negative feelings is okay. And so they've done what is useful for combat or deployments, and they've kind of put that in a box somewhere inside, and they continue to do what's necessary on a daily function that helps during deployments, but that doesn't help with relationships, that doesn't help with employment. And I was in that same place. I didn't know that talking about my own feelings and my own struggles would lead to a satisfied life. And I had a professor who noticed that I was struggling, and he met with me on the side after classes, and his help really let me acknowledge how wonderful the mental health field is. And so I switched my career path and went for counseling so that I could provide the same services to other people.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, we speak about, you know, week in, week out here on the Veterans Voice, is just that level of service never really stops within our veteran community. And talk to me a little bit about how you first got connected and introduced to the wonderful folks over at Mount Carmel.
So I was in the middle of my master's degree, and you have to do a level of internship. And I had applied for a few different places, and I didn't honestly believe that I could get into Mount Carmel. And I can't even remember the reason why I thought that, but I put in an application not expecting much out of it, and I went over there and I did an interview, and I met Kirsten Belair, who's their director there, and it was a fabulous interview. And over that process of being an intern, like, I fell in love with the place, the staff there, and all that they do for our community. And so finishing out my degree, I continue to volunteer there because I like being associated and having the opportunity to connect with our service members and our military community.
Exactly, and that's something that you're continuing now as well. You have your own full-time clinic, and you're still volunteering at Mount Carmel, giving back to our men and women.
I am. I'm over at the Mayfield Center working full-time, and that's been a wonderful change for me because now I'm expanding past just military service members. Although, even being on the opposite side of town, about 50% of my client are still military-related. And after that, I do come back to Mount Carmel. I do participate in what's going on there and provide the services to continue to support our community.
Exactly. And, you know, we've seen so much change, especially in the past month and a half, and really that's almost bringing up some noticeable increases, especially when it comes to the future of our country. Also, a lot of wounds getting reopened for many recent veterans as well with everything that happened in Afghanistan. Let's talk a little bit about what you're seeing day in and day out, and some words of advice and some suggestions you have for people who might be out there struggling and listening.
Surprisingly, a lot of people that I haven't talked to in a long time started reaching out to me with the recent events in Afghanistan, and there seems to be this theme that we as a nation are going to be perceived as weak or broken, and then there's a personal fear of handing over a government that's not functioning to their children. And people have all this anxiety and all this energy built up, and they don't know what to do with it. So they've been reaching out to me saying, what can I do? And my advice to people is understand where you're at in life and what your capabilities are. For most of us, being a friend, being a parent, being a responsible coworker allows people to fit into the places where they live and where they're at. And taking on the responsibility of helping people adapt to life is more important than trying to change the world in one effort.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to that old adage that you've got to make sure that you're prepared and you're ready to go and you've got yourself taken care of before you can really go on and be that something for everyone else.
Exactly. We all have our morals. We all have our values, and we need to share that. I think people are an embodiment of values, which each of us have our uniqueness there. And passing on values to the next generation, to our friends, it really stands out in what we are as Americans to have this shared community, this shared camaraderie, and this shared government.
Exactly. You know, Derek, you'd mentioned earlier that there's still that stigma when it comes to taking care of your mental health, your emotional well-being. What are some of the key things or what needs to be done? Say you had a crystal ball here to look into, and how do we fix that stigma, and how do we realize that really the health is the important part of that word, not behavioral, not mental, not emotional, that it's all part of your well-being and your health?
How do we fix that? That's a difficult one. I think for everybody's different, and in a lot of ways we forget how to self-care, and that term gets thrown out a lot. I try to help people go back to their childhood. I don't think children ever have a trouble of having fun and being satisfied with life. And some of those things that we did back then are still relevant to us today. A prime example of that is like people who build models can now build cars as an adult, and that is self-satisfying because they're constructing and building with their life. But every one of us, we have a different imagination, a different purpose, a different sense of happiness. And finding those childhood things and bringing that into your adulthood, knowing that it's not immature, but it's just self-awareness, is the key.
Exactly. Now, Brian, you spent 9 years in the Army. You got out. We're in classes at the Colorado Christian University, realized, hey, major gone on, not exactly it, you know, had this kind of aha moment going into behavioral health. If somebody out there is thinking about maybe turning their service into serving others in that behavioral health world, what would you say to them, and what are some of your suggestions and advice?
Research is a big deal in the mental health field. I think the mental health department is learning ways to be more unified. Mm-hmm. And there is four major avenues of approach when you're getting into mental health. So doing your research and understanding which direction you want to go is vital to achieving the goals out of that. Whether you want to be a researcher or, you know, interactive with people, whether you want to be behind the glass window or on a couch next to somebody.
And you'd also mention, you know, self-care as well, and I imagine there's still a heavy emotional toll that goes on with, you know, clinicians, especially as you're talking with other veterans, that you might be hearing them bring up something that might also kind of bring back some of your own memories from your time during the service.
That piece comes back to relationships. We all have somebody that we can trust, and leaning on those people is never a bad thing. It takes a while to understand who's safe, and safety really comes down to who will take care of our emotions the way we would take care of our emotions. You find that partner in life, that old school friend, or maybe your spouse, but being able to confide in them and knowing that they're just there to support you and your needs and not try to fix anything is valuable.
Exactly. And of course, there's always that need to decompress no matter what stage of life you're in. And there's some great ways that, you know, to help decompress and kind of take that just heavy burden off your shoulders that you might be carrying around.
Yes, absolutely. Decompressing is a big part of being satisfied with life. We don't have to carry everything on our shoulders. And decompressing is doing the things that we enjoy for ourselves. And dropping this mentality that we're being selfish is a hard thing to do, I think, currently. But a little bit of self-care, a little bit of working out or playing a game or spending time with the kids, it's not really that selfish. It satisfies the need that we are also human.
Exactly. It comes down to those two key words that you'd mentioned kind of early and have stuck with me throughout our conversation is self-care. Derek Bain, thank you so much for joining us here on the Veterans Voice. If anyone wants more information about how to get a hold of you or any of the other behavioral health services at Mount Carmel, what's the best way to do so?
I would say reach out to Mount Carmel. I mean, even their help desk will get you attached, whether that's mental health or other complications, finding a job, financial support. There's a lot of services that Mount Carmel provides, and getting a hold of their main number, they'll direct you in the direction you need. If Mount Carmel's not an option, we have a huge veteran support system, and I recommend that doing a little bit of research will find you the avenue of help you need.
Perfect. Well, get a hold of Mount Carmel. Just call 719-772-7000 or visit veteranscenter.org. Derek, thank you so much for joining us here on the Veterans Voice. Thank you for your service during your 9 years in the Army, as well as your continued service, not only to the veterans at Mount Carmel, but everyone within your clinic as well.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
USAA members are saving money on insurance and enjoying unrivaled service from a company that understands their needs.
My experience with USAA has been excellent. They really appreciate military family, and it really shows.
With all that USAA offers, why go with anybody else? We know their rates are good. We know that they're always going to take care of us.
It was funny because when we would call another insurance company, they would say, oh, we can't beat USAA.
It was an instant savings, and I should have changed a long time ago.
Savings and service. It's why families have trusted USAA since 1922.
We're the Weber family.
We're the Tennies.
We're the Hales, and we're USAA members for life.
USAA, proudly serving active military, veterans, and their eligible family. See how much you could save on USAA insurance. Get a quote today.
Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. Member pay for their participation. United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Welcome back to the Mount Carmel Veterans Voice podcast. I'm Andrew Rogers. Again, the Veterans Voice is a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center and presented by USAA. Mount Carmel is an amazing nonprofit organization focused on military veterans and their families. They provide incredible services for veterans and their families. And those services include, but are not limited to, transition and employment, behavioral health and wellness, and resources for veterans and their families. Again, no matter what era, and regardless of discharge status. We're continuing the conversation here when it comes to caregivers, when it comes to veterans' health and mental health. Joining us now via phone is Quentin Finney. He's the Director of Caregiver Programs for Veterans Path. They are a great partner with Mount Carmel. He's also a veteran Marine Intelligence Officer. So, Quentin, thank you so much, A, for your service and for joining us here on the Veterans Voice.
Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity.
And let's, you know, talk about your time in the Marine Corps and some of the experiences that you had and really that transition that you've lived out following 14 years of service and that toll it takes once you transitioned from an active Marine, since we know it's once a Marine, always a Marine, to a newly minted veteran.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good broad brush spectrum place to start. So born and raised in the great state of Indiana, couldn't wait to leave. So 2 weeks out of high school, I enlisted in the Marine Corps, and I spent 9.5 years enlisted, was a staff sergeant when I took my commission, and my combat time was in Bosnia. So dating myself a little bit, my 14 years were 1985 to 1999. One of the things that has been surprising and a kind of an interesting discovery is that the challenges of transition, they're really not that much different now than they were then. I got out about 2.5 years before 9/11. So that's my anchor point. And you know, some of the biggest challenges that we face ourselves as veterans and that we support others working through with Veterans Path are surrounding transitions. Transition, hanging up the uniform, sometimes by choice, right? We come to the end of our service and choose not to re-enlist or not to extend our active duty time. Sometimes it's because of injury or whatever, and we haven't chosen it. So there are different flavors of transition, but always a sense of loss of identity. You know, I'm not who I was. I'm actually have to think about things now, like what am I going to wear when I get up in the morning? I have to think about when do I need to make a dental appointment or a medical appointment? Just things that we tend to take for granted while we're in uniform just become a little disorienting when we have to do it all for ourselves. So transition can be interesting, not just the pursuit of a job or moving into school mode or whatever comes next, but also the inner things like identity.
Exactly. And I know that's one thing that a lot of our service branches are starting to work on nowadays, is at least some kind of transitional work, but more on that career side. And that's where Veterans Path is coming in to really help with that mental health during and after the transition as well, because you, as you'd mentioned, it's almost a complete, you know, identity shift and really a lot of unknowns when it comes to the inner person and your direction, not just, you know, where you show up to work, where you punch a clock and what you're doing every day, but really it's a larger foundational question of who you become once you're no longer, you know, Staff Sergeant Finney, U.S. Marine Corps.
Yeah. And it doesn't really matter what rank. It could be Lance Corporal Finney, could be Lieutenant Colonel Finney. The challenges of transition are kind of the same. And, you know, it's particularly interesting even thinking about the inner experience with like job interviewing. You know, one of the programs that Mount Carmel runs called Prep Connect 360. And part of that includes, you know, looking for a job and support with that. We are working to layer into that the inner aspect of like the story that I tell myself in my head about whether or not I'm ready for this job or whatever that storyline might be. Sometimes inner critic things come into play and they get in the way of a smooth job interview. So even something as simple as just listening to the story in our head while we're stepping into a job interview can shape a different interview.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's so many things in the head as well. And again, let's talk about Veterans Path. You guys are a new behavioral health partner at Mount Carmel, and just talk about your mission, your goals, and your beliefs, and really what everything Veterans Path stands for.
Yep. I would say at the crux, Veterans Path is about healing and successful transition into a new path of service. So PATH is actually an acronym for us. It stands for peace, acceptance, transformation, and honor. Those are things that we all hold in uniform as, you know, critical core values. Doesn't really matter what service we're part of. These things are important. And, you know, there are a lot of organizations that will provide baseline introduction to mindfulness, for example, and being able to start cultivating the witness to our own inner experience, which we're not very good at, by the way. I often talk about how well-trained we are to do the counterintuitive thing and turn toward the sounds of chaos when there's some kind of an external threat. But we really don't get a lot of training on turning toward the sounds of chaos when it's coming from inside of us. And so at Veterans Path, we're really focused on applied mindfulness, not just introducing someone to mindfulness, but supporting how to take these mindfulness skills and apply them to real-world situations. Because soft skills have hard returns, but that can be really invisible.
Exactly. And, you know, you'd mentioned that mindfulness and being able to recognize those internal, you know, triggers and alarms versus being able to identify and go after those external ones. And let's talk more about the mindfulness training that you guys do at Veterans Path.
Yeah, a lot of it centers around sensory awareness and relating with sense perceptions, things that we can feel, tuning into what we feel in our body, and most importantly, forming a different relationship with, you know, raising our hand and asking for help when we witness something happening inside of us that feels overwhelming or overloading or disorienting or even something that just freezes us. You know, standard triggering responses, fight, flight, we know, but freeze is one of them too. And so learning how to tune into what's happening inside, and then, you know, I would have never, as a Marine, stepped into a hostile fire situation without understanding who I could call for support if I needed it. But we don't do that as veterans. We tend to think that we have to shoulder everything alone, especially if it's an inner thing. And that's just not true. You know, the same way that we would call for fire support if we needed it, we also need to be able to raise our hand and ask for help if that firefight is an internal one, because we don't have to do that alone. And so that's really what we're focused on.
Exactly. And that feeling of not being there alone, you know, I've likened it with others to kind of having that battle buddy there, that you're not just, you know, someone trying to help and assist, you know, kind of looking down or judging, that you're right there with somebody arm in arm through these experiences. And you'd mentioned it earlier, you know, you transitioned after 14 years of service and you transitioned to in the pre-9/11 era, and there's still a lot of similarities and things going on, especially with veterans today. And let's talk about some of these challenges that really veterans are facing no matter what era they got out of the service or how long they've been separated from their branch.
Yeah, some of the consistent challenges, really the biggest consistent challenges that we see are around transition. And a lot of times we've been interacting with veterans who struggled during their transition. So one of the beautiful aspects about our partnership with Mount Carmel is A, we can still work with those people who are struggling at later stages in their transition. But with Mount Carmel, we have an opportunity to engage sooner in the transition process, which, you know, as anything else, the sooner something starts to get the support that it needs and the attention that it needs, the anxiety around it dissipates and the experience of moving through life with a little more ease comes into play as well. So just earlier intervention or earlier access to support for folks who are struggling, that's a key thing for us with the partnership with Mount Carmel. Not just what we've been doing, but the opportunity to start sooner.
Exactly. And how did the partnership between Veterans Path and Mount Carmel come to be?
I would say it actually predates the last couple of years. We have an executive director who joined us a couple of years ago who used to run his own nonprofit. It was called Aikido for Veterans and Military Families. And he had a relationship with Mount Carmel with that nonprofit of his, which unfortunately didn't survive. So when he joined Veterans Path, he already had contacts and we were able to start forming a deeper partnership while we were also moving our headquarters to Colorado. So just the stars aligned and it's been a really great partnership for us. And I hope Mount Carmel feels the same way.
Exactly. And there's already been some key things that are really starting to show just the power of these kind of partnerships as well. And do you have any particular stories that come to mind just showing the true impact of being able to partner with what you guys do at Veterans Path now that you're also working with the crew and the support staff over at Mount Carmel?
Sure. One of the success stories that I like to talk about are impact stories, change stories that I like to share is someone who was an Army vet who was struggling, had been self-medicating their own trauma, had started, you know, dealing to fund the habit, so to speak, had been in and out of the court system. And at one point was told, look, you know, you're going to go away for a long time or you're going to do something different, and found his way to Veterans Path as a result. This was almost a decade ago, and in the last decade has made a really significant transition, finished his college degree, went on to law school, and now is a practicing attorney working in support of veterans in the veterans courts. And so giving back as a legal professional in the way that he once benefited. So I just think that that's such a beautiful round trip, if you will.
Exactly. And it shows, you know, just that investment, but also deep down, despite whatever was going on, whatever was being masked and used, as you mentioned, to self-medicate those traumas and those deeper issues, that there's still that dedication to service that really never goes away. Quentin, if you have anyone listening right now, if they're thinking, you know, I might be kind of teetering on that, don't know if they should not, what is your suggestion to somebody who may not be feeling, you know, that they're running 100% or things aren't as they should be?
I would suggest that find someone that they feel comfortable talking with, right? I mean, they may already have a, quote, battle buddy. They may not. But just find someone to talk with, maybe through Mount Carmel, or reach out to us directly at Veterans Path and have, you know, non-judgmental conversations. We fear the judgment of others. And I'm here to tell you, even when I've shared my own trauma stories, the judgment that I fear has never been there, never. So no shame in asking for help. We all need help at times. And like I said, we never go into a hostile firefight and not raise our hand and ask for help when we needed it. This is no different. It's just raising our hand and asking for supporting arms.
Exactly.
Yeah, and do that either directly through Mount Carmel or reach out to Veterans Path through social media channels or at veteranspath.org or me personally. You can find me on Twitter under I Still Serve.
And, you know, you'd hit the nail on the head right there, you know, that judgment, those internal conversations that we have surrounding these topics is getting help when it comes to mental and emotional well-being that really, you know, you attested to it. That judgment that you might have thought there is, that predetermined judgment, is never really there. And that's one of the key things to get over to help end that stigma when it comes to asking for help.
Totally. We have to stop the stigma.
Exactly. Now, Quentin, if anyone wants to get more information about Veterans Path or to reach out and connect with you guys, what's the best way to do so?
Again, either through Mount Carmel, who knows how to get in touch with us at any time, or through our social media channels. We have an active presence on, you know, all of the major social media channels, as well as on our website, veteranspath.org.
All right. Well, Quentin Finney with Veterans Path, thank you so much for your service, for joining us here and being so open and transparent and really helping to end that stigma as well. Really appreciate the time today.
Thanks so much. It's my honor.
Well, you've been listening to the Veterans Voice podcast. It is a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Services. They're a nonprofit focused on military veterans and their families. They have transition and employment teams, behavioral health and wellness, and resources for veterans and their families, regardless of the era, regardless of discharge status. For more information, give them a call, 719-772-7000, or visit veteranscenter.com. The podcast also presented by USAA. USAA is continuing their hiring efforts as well. If you'd like to join their great team, find all the information at usaajobs.com. You've been listening to the Veterans Voice podcast. The podcast publishes on the second and fourth Saturday of each month at 0800 over on krdo.com or wherever you get your podcasts.